feel free again. I can go to concerts. I can go out. I can hang with my friends and I just feel good. I feel really, really great. It's beautiful because I was having a tough month. I needed to have those lows because now I really appreciate the high. I really appreciate the sunshine. I really appreciate being in my car and just playing fucking Michael Jackson and screaming.
Hello and welcome to episode 106 of the Mad Happy Podcast. This is Phineas doing the introduction here for a conversation between our very own Mason Spector and Harry Jousy. You may know Harry from reality TV, YouTube, social media, or any of the many other places he appears in popular culture. The two have, as always on this show, a very candid conversation about their personal mental health journeys, their current mental health status. Harry is candid and honest, as is Mason. Harry talks about his past in Australia before entering reality TV. They talk about therapy and the importance of having people in your life that you trust and can lean on. It's a fantastic conversation. So without further ado, the Mad Happy Podcast is brought to you by Optimism. Enjoy the show with Mason and Harry Jousy.
What's up, brother?
How are you feeling?
You do a lot of podcasts or no?
Yeah, I love it.
You do?
Yeah, this is a lot of fun. And I'm in the HQ. It's fucking massive. I didn't realize how big you guys are.
Yeah, what do you think of the space, man?
I feel so underachieved. Like, I walk in and the first bit here, I was like, oh yeah, nice. Like, they got a nice little spot because the guy in the parking was like, oh yeah, it's just in the corner there. And then I walk around and there's like, fuck, it's a warehouse. I'm like, oh shit, like this is
a big space, man. It's a big operation.
How is that a collab with Lululemon? How did that go?
It was great, man. I mean, it was like the longest lead time, I think, on any project we've done.
Really?
Like when we first started talking to them was like over 2 years ago at this point.
What?
So it was like super interesting. Obviously, I think they're like the biggest brand that
for sure
we've ever worked with, which is like super exciting. You know, I think that always has its like pros and cons. You know, I think we were definitely like, you know, what is partnering with a brand that big? Like, what does it say about our brand? Like, obviously, it's cool to some degree. It's mainstream to some degree. It's like, you know, you could argue it's basic to some degree, but it gets a lot of eyeballs, right? So I think just like weighing all those different things. But I think in general, like the product really turned out great and like the stuff was super sick. It was
what's
like,
the goal with something like that? Like, why do you go or like why do you guys come together like as two clothing brands?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's definitely a lot of synergy around like, you know, physical health and mental health of like, you know, being in the activewear space and like how, you know, wearing those clothes and exercising and moving your body can make you feel good mentally. So I think it first starts with like an authentic story that like we're trying to tell that makes sense for the two brands. And then I think like for us, it's always great to like be able to work with a partner who produces specialty garments where like we can design them in a Mad Happy language. They can produce them in their like really world-class way with the best fabrics and manufacturers and factories and things like that.
Yeah.
Which makes it like really easy for us because obviously we don't have the means to produce Lululemon quality, you know, tech shorts and Anorak zip-up jackets and like all those sorts of things. So it kind of gives us like the best of both worlds. And I think it's just great from like a brand awareness and like marketing perspective of like, you know, doing multiple collab posts with them and stuff. It's like that maybe like the most people that ever saw the word Mad Happy that day or like things like that.
Yeah.
So it's good. I mean, obviously partnerships have been such a big part of like our business the last 5-6 years. And I think it's like, we've done them all the way on that massive scale to like John and Vinny's and everything in between.
Oh, you did a John and Vinny's collab?
Yeah, like
sick.
3 times.
Really?
Yeah, I think we have like some of the hats up there.
Oh, wow. That's fucking cool.
Yeah, we did those hats too, the Fusilli Palazzo. It's like the Fusilli Palace.
Wow, that's fucking cool.
Yeah, so that was neat. Thanks so much for coming on the show. I mean, we got to meet a couple months ago and I like, just based off our first conversation, once we kind of like introduced ourselves, it was clear to me that like you are such a mental health advocate and like really have this like side of you that I'm sure maybe not a lot of people really know just from like maybe seeing your page or judging you from the show or whatever, and was really, really interested in having you on and having a conversation about it all. So thanks for being here.
Yeah, bro, I appreciate it. And I just want to acknowledge that this week is 2 years since I lost my best friend to suicide.
Really?
Yeah. So it's been this is perfect timing. You know, it gives me a chance to maybe touch someone or share a story that maybe someone needs to hear today, or maybe yeah, someone just needs to check in on their friends, because you never really know what's going on. And I actually do have a video that Tavita was his name. I was on his Facebook like the other day just walking, and he's always big, like he's big on his like affirmations and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just listening for his voice, and I was like, oh, damn. And I thought maybe this is something that maybe if you're listening, maybe you want to repeat it, maybe you want to write it down, because it is beautiful words what he says, and he's such a special guy, and it's such a shame. But here, I'll play it.
Today, I am grateful. I am grateful for my family, for my friends. I'm grateful for my health. I'm also extremely grateful for the opportunities I'm about to receive the rest of the year. I'm also grateful for the experiences that I've been through, because without those, it wouldn't have shaped me who I am. I wouldn't have learned the lessons.
Mm.
Without the lessons, you won't grow. Without growth, you'll stay the same. So what are you grateful for today?
He's the best.
Mm.
Such a sweetheart.
And that's beautiful, man.
Yeah, so if you're struggling, maybe repeat that mantra, write it down. Write down what you're grateful for, because you never know when you need to read that list and when it's going to make things a little bit better for you. So,
yeah, I mean, thank you so much for sharing that. I guess on that note, for you to answer his own question, what are you feeling grateful for right now and today?
You know what? This week's been the happiest I've been in a long time.
Mm.
And I'm just grateful to be myself again, and to be even just driving on the way here and playing music as loud as I can and just singing, and the sun is shining. And I'm sunburnt, and like I'm grateful to be able to be in the sun and to be outside. I know it probably sounds a little bit corny, but sometimes it's just those little things that you need to do. And whenever I'm feeling sad, it's like, well, I better go outside. I better go get in the sun. I better get away from this environment that's making me feel a little bit weird. And I've had a bit of a rough couple of months mentally. It's kind of random. Like for some reason, I just had a lot of pressure put on me.
Mm.
And I was in a spot where I was like, well, hey, I reached out to someone very close to me, and I was like, hey, I'm not doing too well. And it kind of got like thrown back in my face. And I'm like, okay, well, damn, what do I need to do to change that, make things better? And now I'm back to feeling great again. I've cleared out those environments that maybe didn't best serve me. And now I'm back to feeling amazing and feel free again. I can go to concerts. I can go out and I can hang with my friends, and I just feel good. I feel really, really great. I feel really blessed. And I think, coming into Mental Health Month, I think that it's beautiful, because I was having a tough month, and now now it's like I needed to have those lows, because now I really appreciate the high.
Yeah.
I really appreciate the sunshine. I really appreciate being in my car and just playing fucking Michael Jackson and screaming.
Yeah, I think that's the beauty of it all. Like he said, it's like, if it weren't for these, like, I'm grateful for the experiences that I've had, even the harder ones and the shittier ones, because without those, I wouldn't have learned, and without learning, I wouldn't grow. And without that, we'd all just stay the same all the time, which I don't think anyone wants. And I think that's really, like, in that message that he shared, you know, that sort of encapsulates really what Mad Happy means, is to really, like, not only value those times that we have that we're down, but like really talk about them and like what can we learn about them. It's like, only be like, it's gonna happen, like, no matter what, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, there's just a inevitable ebb and flow of life, of like, sometimes it's gonna be shitty, sometimes it's gonna be great, and like, that's what's so beautiful about it. And like, it's not to say one is better or worse than the other. It's just all sort of the yin and the yang of the life that we live, of like reality. And I think it's like, you know, part of the problem is that when we are in those times where we're struggling, it's like we can't show it, and we can't talk to anyone, because if we do, especially as guys, it's like, oh, you're a bitch, or like, you're weak, or like anything like that, you know. And like, for you to have the ability, like you said, you reached out to one of your mates or whoever about like checking in, it's like, that's beautiful, man. It's like that's like the first step that we sort of all have to do. And then now, you know, now you're on the other side of it now, and you're fucking moonwalking on the 10E, heading to the Mad Happy HQ, you know, like that's the beauty in it all.
Yeah, bro. Yeah, but it's also scary, because when you're in it, you're like, fuck, like, there's no other option. It's like, what, like, this is how it is. Like, it's your only reality. And I think that's the thing that sucks the most when you're feeling a little bit flat, or you're feeling a little bit sad, is you're like, oh God, like, this is how it's always going to be. But then once you come out the other side, or you just hold on as long as you can, and then it gets better. You're like, okay, well, fuck, like, it was worth waiting for. Like, it was worth holding on for.
Yeah.
And, you know, I feel like that's something that I wish I could have said to Tavita, something I wish I could have said to Meredith and Hamish, the three people that I've lost to suicide. And, yeah, it's just, it's tough. It sucks, but it's a part of the journey. There's not one person on this planet that doesn't feel it and doesn't have those moments. But, you know, it's amazing what you guys are doing and having a brand that's around, you know, just acknowledging that. Because it's one, I guess, guys, like, you're always meant to be like, but especially in Australia. So Australia and New Zealand has the highest suicide rate per capita. And wow. It's
I feel like a lot of people would be surprised by that.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's really bizarre. Like, it's so strange. It's such a beautiful country. Everyone is incredible, you know, and it's just, we don't have a stigma to talk to each other. Like, people don't want to talk, mm-hmm. like, and don't want to just say, hey, like, I'm not okay. I'm struggling. We do have this really amazing day once a year called Are You Okay Day,
mm-hmm.
where everyone, it's like a big national push where everyone just asks each other, are you okay? Which is beautiful and something special, but it's one day for the whole year, you know, it's tough. And it's really scary.
We got to be asking each other that every day.
Every day, yeah. Yeah, like, what's going on? Like, are you okay? Like, how do you feel?
Yeah.
But then again, sometimes people don't want to be quizzed like that.
So yeah.
I think
and that's okay too, right? It's like everyone goes at their own speed. It's not like what's kind of such a Rubik's Cube about this mental health thing is that it's like case by case for every single human on earth.
Yeah.
Which is like, you know, there's 8 billion different ways and different people of like who, like how you connect with whoever.
Yeah, yeah. The biggest thing is just check in with yourself. Like, did I feel as good as I did like 6 months ago? Like,
yeah.
What's actually bugging me? Because I think that, you know, maybe you're in a circumstance or a situation where it's just like you think that maybe this is how it's always going to be. And I think I was like that for the past like, year or so where I was like, oh, this is, I guess, my definition of happiness now. Now I'm out of that situation. I'm like, damn, like, fuck, I feel so good. Like,
yeah.
Damn, this is... what it really feels like to wake up and jump out of bed before your alarm and just fucking want to click your heels together and go for a run.
Yeah. Well, I'd love a little bit of backstory on you so we can understand a bit more about like how you are the way you are and stuff. What was sort of your childhood like upbringing? When did you eventually move to the States? Like sort of how did everything come to be for you?
Bro, I was a piece of shit kid. Bro, I was the worst. I got kicked out of schools in Australia and I had to go to school in a different country.
Really?
My parents sent me to boarding school in New Zealand.
Is the Australian school system like very strict or is it just like regular like a public schools in the States or like?
Like the school system, I don't think is that strict. I just think that I was like I had.
You were just a piece of shit.
Bro, I was blowing up toilets with chlorine bombs and shit at school. And then.
Why were you such a menace, do you think?
Bro, YOLO. Like I was a piece of shit. Bro, there was a leadership camp, you know?
Yeah.
It was like just before the final year of school where they picked the school captains and all
this
stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Bro, I don't know why they put me on that thing. I started a rock fight and at a battle at the middle of the night. It was fucked up, bro. Like, the people had holes in their tents for people to throw rocks and shit. It was fucking crazy. And so that was when my parents were like, hey, you're actually the problem. You have to go.
You're like, this kid needs some more attention or something.
Yeah. So they sent me to boarding school in New Zealand.
How old were you?
16.
Okay, so like middle of high school, basically?
Yeah. So 17 is when you graduate in Australia, okay. And 18 is when you graduate in New Zealand. So I kind of I was in the fucking middle of it. And it sucks because I was like, I'm doing my final year of school, but I'm a year younger than everyone else. And
did you like school? Like, were you like academically focused or did you always sort of want to like, you're like, I need to do like something.
I was
something
the worst. Yeah. I hated that shit.
Me too, man.
I didn't even think I finished high school. Well, I think I know I did, but I got kicked out of that school as well.
Yeah.
2 weeks before I was meant to graduate, I streaked through the sister college. And we thought we didn't think that there was going to be the mayor and police officers and the whole, all their families were there, but they were. So we won.
Grandmas and babies.
Everyone. And we're all in like pink G-strings with like balaclavas on. And we had. Like, I think we got banned from, like, being within 200 meters of that school for, like, 3 years. which is warranted.
Sex offender status.
Yeah, right? It was bad. It was honestly because we were hiding behind this, like, curtain where we were going to run out. And we thought it was, like, you know, the high school is, like, in their final year. Like, they're saying goodbye to each other. We come out as a whole school. And I'm like, oh, fuck. Okay, well, we have to run now.
Gotta do it.
But there's only, like, one 6'5", skinny little twig Australian guy in at that school at the time. So it was pretty obvious to figure out, okay, well, this... like
that's, I don't know who those other fucking kids are, but that's Harry.
Yeah, that's definitely Harry. He looks like a fucking praying mantis. Like, what is that guy doing? Like, he can't even run. So then, yeah, for my final 2 weeks of school, like my final exams, I had to live in a tent for 2 weeks outside the school in a park. Like,
holy shit.
Yeah, dude. So my parents were just like, well, we're not going to get you accommodation. You fucked up. Yeah. This is your fault. So
I'm kicked out of school.
Yeah. So I was literally like, living in a tent, did my final exams. I didn't even know if I passed or not. And then after that, went back to Australia and I was working 3 jobs, saving up money. And I was like, this sucks. Like, I don't want to do this.
Did you consider like university or?
Yes, it was. I did. But it was also like, I wasn't like excited to learn. I'm like, yeah. Yo, like I'm done being told how to think and like what to do. Like, I want to figure it out. Like the goal was go to university, get a business degree and then finish the family's company. Like just work through with that.
Yeah.
But I went back to Australia, hated it. There was like my parents, I think they weren't used to having, you know, two extra men like me and my brother in the house. And it was, I think it just like invaded their space. So they didn't appreciate it. So then we're like,
you guys got to get out of here.
Yeah. They're like, we sent you away. Why the fuck are you coming back?
You're 18 now. We've done our job.
Yeah, literally. So like, my mom was like, okay, can you stop paying rent? I'm like, mom, what? You're my mother. Like, you pay me rent. But yeah, so I saved up money. I was working 3 jobs. And then I went to England. I went and traveled around at fresh 18. Thought I was a fucking king, bro. I was like running around Europe just thinking I was a man. I did like...
Untouchable.
Really? Untouchable. Had my drink spiked. I got jumped. I got robbed. I had all this shit happen. And I came back. I was like, mom, the world is scary. The world sucks.
It's like a reality check.
Yeah, yeah. Pulled me back down to earth. Made me feel like, okay, well, I'm not going to be that piece of shit anymore. And then I applied. I got into university down in Byron Bay in Australia. And I was there for 2.5 years. And then that was when I lost Hamish, who's my brother's best friend. We lost him to suicide. And that was the first, like, fucking, like, just being pulled off the railroad tracks and just, like, sitting down. I remember... it was the most weird, bizarre feeling in the world. I was sitting beside this riverbank with my dog. I was crying. I was so upset. It was, as you would be. Like, I was devastated. And I was like, damn, what can I do to make my friends laugh? Like, it's one thing to tell everyone, like, hey, are you okay? What's going on? But it's, like, another thing to give your friends something to look forward to where they're just like, this guy is – my friend is a dickhead and I just want to laugh at him.
Laugh is the best medicine.
Yeah. So I was like on my phone and my friend Helen from high school, I haven't spoken to her in years, tagged me in this show called Heartbreak Island. Like, oh, she said, you'd be so funny on this. So I sent nudes in. I sent a full naked photo. And the next day, it was like 2 days after, they flew me to New Zealand. They're like, we want you on, blah, blah, blah. We filmed all the like the press stuff for it. And I was like, okay, well, this is sick. Like,
That was the start.
So I was like, I remember at the airport, I was like, oh, I'm going to win this. Like, no one actually stands a chance, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
I had it so like ingrained in me. I visualized that first time I ever manifested anything. I'm like, I'm winning this show. I'm winning this money. I'm going to make everyone laugh and it's going to be hilarious. It's going to be so good. Went on this show, won it, won $100,000, lost it all in a day. That's a different story. It's terrible business ideas. And then from that show, you know, I was like, oh, damn, like, this is fun. I get to entertain people. My friends laughed. And I come out of that show with amazing friends, this guy Josh, my best friend Christian, who I ended up living with, and then Tavita and a bunch of amazing people from that show. And then after that, I was like, fuck, I need to apply for every single show I can think of because this is fun. And I had a UK passport. So I'm like, I'm going to be on Love Island UK. Applying for that. I made it all the way through to, like, the final rounds. And then someone was like, hey, the person that was casting, he's like, hey, I think you would be way better on this other show. I can't tell you who it's for or what it is about, but trust me. And I was like, sweet. He's like, hey, we have to fly you to Australia, because I was living in Auckland, for like 3 hours to meet this guy to make sure you're not like a catfish.
Yeah.
They flew me for coffee. I sat down with him for coffee. He's like, you're Harry? I'm like, yeah, I am. He's like, we just want to make sure you went catfishing. Then went back to New Zealand. Then I waited, and then they sent me out to Mexico. And when I landed in Mexico, that was when I realized it was for Netflix. Like, they told me, like, hey, this is so under wraps. It's one of the first ever reality shows. They don't want anyone to know about it, blah, blah, blah.
Wow.
Then filmed it. That was the second time I manifested anything.
Yeah.
I was like, damn, like, knew exactly how it was going to play out, knew exactly what I was getting myself into, and then came back and I went to New Zealand. I said to Christian, pack your shit. We're moving to America. We had 2 weeks to figure it out. We sold everything. We packed our stuff up. We came to America. It was in November because we thought the show was coming out. I think we thought the show was coming out in December 2019. Because that was, I said, yeah, it's going to be in the new year, blah, blah, blah. We came to America in November, but I had $3,000 in my bank account. I did not know how to figure it out here. So I was trying to like hustle online. Like I was doing this thing called DM closing where you just like close, you just sales through DMs.
Yeah.
Because I was verified. So I was like trying to get as many like commissions as I could from like all these online gurus. And then COVID hit. So we're just like stuck in this apartment. And then mid the COVID show drops, changes everything. And then that was never been the same since.
Dude, what a fucking ride.
Dude, it was crazy. Like 50 million households in the first 7 days.
That's crazy. That's,
and which is fucked because like it was the most bizarre thing because...
Were you expecting like that sort of reception or not at all?
No, because Netflix has never done a reality show before at that point.
This could flop so hard.
Yeah, we didn't know. And also it's like COVID. Like we didn't know if there... I remember sitting at home and I was like, this is the worst thing that could ever happen to me. The fact that it's COVID and whatever else, but it was the best thing that ever happened because everyone is at home.
They had nothing to do except
judge us.
Browse Netflix and fucking watch and talk shit about these people.
Dude,
and
it was fucking nuts. Like it was honestly one of the most like overwhelming, bizarre, life-changing experiences that I've ever been in. And it was such a beautiful blessing, and to continue to have an amazing relationship with Netflix is one of the biggest things that I've been grateful for in my entire life. Like it's just, it's incredible. Like,
and I think to hear like where it came from, like the kernel of the inspiration for you was like through loss and tragedy. And like through that, like you found the urge to want to like bring people joy.
Yeah. Well, that's the only thing that fills my cup is like, hey, there's so many sad people and so many people going through stuff. What can I do to give someone that 30, 45 minutes break of their fucking crazy week to watch me be a dickhead and be shirtless and drunk and try and be like a wanker on a TV show.
Yeah.
Like that was the only thought. I'm like, you know, Hamish was sad. I should have done more. I should have made more people laugh. Okay. Well now I realize that like everyone who watches the show, they're my friends. I just haven't met them yet, but I need to make them laugh. I now owe, like I'm a servant for my audience. Like I just want to make them laugh.
Yeah.
I want to give them something that like, they can go, damn, like this, even though he's a big fucking idiot, like he's funny and he's making me happy. You know, that's the only goal.
When Hamish passed, was that sort of your first like, oh shit, like mental health is real type moment? Or like I don't, you know, like did it sort of open up that door for you of like understanding really like what mental health is in some way?
In my teenage years, when I was going through like bad breakups, was the first time that I was like, oh, like
damn, I fucking feel.
Like, yeah, like I don't want to be around anymore. Like I don't want anyone near me. And like, this is, damn, this is it. Like, fuck, this sucks. Like, I don't want to do this. The real big moment was when one of my friends attempted in high school. And that was the fucking scariest thing, getting that call. That was fucking so terrifying because this was like my brother. Like this is the most beautiful man, the most amazing soul and the happiest guy in the room. And he attempted. And I was like, dude, what the fuck is going on? And I remember sitting there just like being a shambles and losing Hamish. And then a year on to Vita from the first show, Heartbreak Island. And then a few months on after that, Meredith, who was that best friend in high school, that was his mom. It's one of those things that you're never going to get used to. And it's like, you never know how to cope because you have so many.
I mean, there's nothing to do. There's no like right or wrong way.
It's what
like
do you do? You're just
fucking lost.
Yeah. And you're like fucking confused. And it's years on. And every day I'm still like, fuck, like Tavita, like what's going on? Like talk to me. Like the other day, it was kind of crazy. I was driving in my car and it was, you know, just after going through a bit of a breakup and I just got fucking covered in goosebumps. And I'm like, whoa, what is happening today? Like, what is going on? Who is here? I'm like, what? Like, I was driving, I'm like, who the fuck is here? And then I just got so overwhelmed. I'm like, oh, you guys are here with me. Like, what's happening? Like, it kind of sounds weird, but if you lose someone, you know that.
No, it's beautiful.
Yeah, and the weirdest shit that happened was, so I live in this building called 10,000, mm-hmm. and I'm right at the top of the building. No birds, no nothing ever comes up there. The day I lost Tavita, there was a fucking sparrow sitting there and wouldn't shut up. And I was like, dude, I get it. Like, you're laughing at me. Like, I understand. Like, you're here. It's all good. But stop. Like, go away, sparrow. Like, I was like, I get
it. You're annoying me now.
Yeah. And then he kept coming back every single day. I'm like,
that's him, man. That's him.
Yeah, I was like, why are you checking in? But it was good because in those moments where you're, like, fucking desperate and sad and trying to find answers, you see the littlest thing and you're like, okay, like, his spirit's here. We're all good. But it actually drove me it didn't drive me. It was one of the driving forces behind doing ayahuasca mm-hmm. and going away to do a retreat because I had all these questions. I just wanted to see him. I'm like, people would tell
me. What was that experience like?
Beautiful. Like, it was incredible. I did it in Costa Rica, and it was, I think, like six or seven months after losing both those beautiful souls.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't spiraling, but I just was like fucking confused. I'm like, damn, I've done all this work to make my friends happy. And I've done all this work to get on this big show. And I'm pushing out this message online. And I've just lost two people in 2 months. Like, I took it so like, fuck, like what more can I do? Like, I need to work harder. And it was stressing me out because I'm like, okay, it's like, I want to call everyone. I want to make sure everyone's okay. But I'm going to have to do it every day. And that's,
yeah,
it's more work. Like, How can I? So I had all these questions.
Yeah, I mean, it's like so hard for us. Is like, we can't save people, or like we can't do the work for them. It's like people have to really like want it themselves. You know, I think even for me, like I had an attempt like almost like 5 years ago. That's what like led me to treatment. It'll be the 5 year anniversary of it this summer. Is like when I got sober from drugs and alcohol and things like that. And it's like, you know, it's such an isolating thing of like, it's so hard for other people to see externally because it's so just like, you feel so alone and you feel so alone and you're in so much pain. And like, our minds are so strong of like being able to convince us of this narrative that like, it would just be so much easier if it was all gone, or like there's one way to make it all, just all the pain go away like right now. And I think for me, like when I look back on it, it's like, the thought of it for me was actually causing more joy to think about everything going away than it was is like a thinking about more pain.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Which is like really, really tough. And I think it's like so hard for like friends and loved ones and family to like, what more can I do? How many times do I have to call? How many, like, yeah, you know, like all of that thing annoying. Of like action, when like in reality, I think it's just like, you know, the message of just like, you're not alone, and like it will get better. And like, you know, that, and then it's like people really have to like do the work on their own, you know, like that's like the biggest thing that I've learned. It's like I've tried to find saviors in women, I've tried to find saviors in food and work and business and weed and like all these things, and it's like, you know, nothing will fill the hole in like a sustainable way that like I'm the only one who can fill it myself and like make myself feel good enough. It doesn't matter if I have, you know, everyone checking in on me every day. It's like it's like an intrinsic thing that like, you know, you have to work on and like work with a professional on, and like, you know, it's real work.
Yeah, no, it is. And I think therapy has helped me so much. You do therapy?
Yeah.
So it's amazing.
How long have you been in therapy for?
A few months now, like maybe six.
Nice.
Yeah.
Was there something that like sort of motivated you to go in like the first place, or like how did you sort of make the decision that like I want to start this?
Bad breakup.
Yeah.
Real bad breakup. It was one of those breakups that, you know, I think it's extra difficult in the public eye.
Yeah.
Because you'll see a comment and you want to defend yourself, but it's someone that doesn't know you, doesn't know the situation.
Stranger, yeah.
Like, okay, like, cool, you and your ex just like blocked each other, and now they're gonna pull stuff to try and get a react. They just want your time.
Yeah.
And for me, that was the hardest thing, is because I don't want anyone to think poorly on her, but I also don't want anyone to think poorly on me, and I don't want people to not know the truth. So it's kind of like, fuck, I want to just let you guys know that, hey, like, it was my decision. Something happened that tore this apart. I'm devastated. But it was that breakup was so hard because I stopped eating. I stopped, like, I was having the worst sleep and I ran away. I went to New York and I was trying to like have my friends and I was trying to cope with like drugs and going out and all this stuff. And it was really fucking scary. And I was really scared of myself and what was happening. And I said to my amazing Farah, who's like my day manager, I just said, look, like I need to talk to someone. Cause it's one thing to talk to you all the time. It's one thing to like give you all my problems, but you don't deserve that. Like you don't. And then therapy, we sat down and I just know once a week I can unload and I don't need to put on my friends anymore. I can just give her everything and everything that was going on. And
you need that space and time for that.
Dude. And it made me way more confident as a man.
Yeah.
Made me way more confident in my soul and what I need. And also I figured out like my triggers and stuff that doesn't make me happy and ways to deal with that stuff. Like if there was ever, you know, maybe any jealousy or anything that came through, I'm like, okay, well, I know I'm the most well-rounded person in my reality. Like I'm, you know, I'm happy. I'm comfortable. I can take care of my people. I'm successful. I have, and I can make people laugh. And but if someone like the guy that maybe she was seeing, I was like, he doesn't make her laugh. He's more successful. Maybe he's got X, Y, and Z, but he is not more well-rounded. And that was like the biggest thing where I'm like, okay, I'm way more comfortable now. I'm way more like content in myself, you know, with her.
I think it's like accepting like what's out of our control of like if someone else does something that we can't control, like being comfortable and grounded enough in ourselves to not let that like make us feel any less about ourselves of like, you know, I feel like that's a huge thing. And like, you know, all of my rock bottoms have been from like bad breakups too.
It's
like
crazy.
Mostly all of which like I caused, you know, because I was like needing to seek validation and like as many women in as many times as much as I possibly could, you know, and that like that what I've learned now, which is like that addiction and that problem that I have, it's like that's just the surface level. Like that's not the real problem. That's my unskillful attempt at a solution to a problem that's under here that like you have to work with a professional to really learn and unpack of like, all right, what is it about? Why do I feel so shitty about myself? What did my mom and dad do to me? What did I like what happened to me as a kid that like instilled this belief in me that we all still carry these childhood beliefs with us
till
today that literally shape everything we do and like we don't even realize until you actually sit down and like, you know, talk to the 5-year-old version of yourself of like, oh, you still think you're like just like a screw up who has to go get sent away to school and that's why you now are doing all this or whatever.
Dude, that was the biggest thing I realized when I did that ayahuasca retreat because we were away for 10 days.
Yeah.
And
so are you tripping for like 10 days straight?
No. So it's
You lead up for 2-3 days. And
No. It's not like that crazy. So what happens is like for a few months before you kind of get like the homework, like this is what you're meant to be eating. No sex, no drugs, blah, blah, blah. Like cleanse your body for a month. Before. Well, the sooner you do it, the better it is for the experience. Like you want to go in wholehearted. And I went with this amazing company called One Heart. And I'm not recommending anyone to go do it. But if it calls you, if it's the right time, if it's something that you need, I fully recommend it. But I don't think that it's not a high. It's not like I'm going to go get fucking whacked in a forest.
It's spiritual medicine.
Yeah. So the whole process was every single day we're doing different activities. So like the first day there's one activity that was really, really special. You walk up to someone first day and someone that you don't like. Just based off appearance, which is fucking scary. So this guy walks straight up to me and goes, I don't like you. And I'm like, okay, like, what did I do? He's like, I just don't like how you look. I feel like you're the type of guy, like, you have everything. Yeah, I feel like you would bully me. You make me feel insecure. And I was like, damn, bro. Like, I'm so sorry that I just existed and that's how you feel. Like, I want to make you happy. And so we sat there and you speak through this stuff. And then the end of it, you have to tell them your darkest secret, like something that's so buried away. And it was the most like vulnerable opening experience.
That's beautiful.
Because you just sit there and hug and cry and tell everyone like all your stuff. And there was a bunch of like every day you're doing different activities. But the first night we did ayahuasca was really profound. It was really something that I did not see coming. Because I went in, I'm like, I want to see Tavita.
Yeah.
I want to see Meredith. Yeah. I want to see Hamish.
Say what up to the people.
I want to hug you guys. I want to dance. I want to get the questions answered. And I want to come back home and tell everyone, like, it's all good. I just spoke to them. They're fine. Like, don't worry about it. Like, I got the answers. We're good. We're going to move forward.
Yeah.
But the first night I did, it was on New Year's. Bro, I fucking cried for 5 hours, like in a ball, like my child self. it put me in specific memories with my brother and my dad. And those were two people at the time I didn't have good relationships with.
Yeah.
It was two people that I neglected and I was stubborn with because of maybe some of their substance abuse problems and how they treated my mom and whatever else, that it made me not want to be close to them.
And you were holding on to all that.
Ripping away. And I'm like, I'm fine. I don't give a fuck. And then bang, I have this ayahuasca. And it puts me in specific memories with my brother. Like, we're in the rain, jumping on a trampoline, jumping up and holding onto tree branches. Then it would snap, and I'm beekeeping with my dad. I'm fucking this high, and I'm looking up at him. I'm watching a bee sting me. And I'm like, fuck, I have so much love for this man. This dude is awesome. Like, this is my best friend. Then it would snap, and I'm like at the beach with my brother, like running around. I'm like, fuck, this is my best friend. Why did I let this go? This feeling is so amazing. I fucking love this dude. Like, I got him for life. Like, he's in my corner.
It really made you realize, like, what's important.
Yeah. I'm like, fuck the rest of this stuff. They've got problems. We can work through it. Put that shit to the side. Yeah. I love this human. I love this man. These two people were one of the main people that shaped me. And then, so that was the first night. The thing that sucked is I was sitting, it wasn't like sad tears. It was like tears of joy. But it's like one of those things that, like,
it's just a release. It's like,
yeah, I needed to get out. But like, ayahuasca is one of those things where, like, I could be talking to you right now and have it. But as soon as you close your eyes and go into that state, it's kind of when it like opens up.
Yeah.
So after like 4 or 5 hours of crying and stuff, I was like, hey, cool. I got that out. And I remember sitting there. I'm like, I'm ready for the happy stuff. I'm like sitting there. I'm like looking at everyone. I'm like, give me the happy stuff. And it was like worn off. I'm like, fuck. Like, what do I do now? Like, I'm trying to be happy. And like, I'm to be that. Like, come on. I'm trying to beat you. So then the second night I did it, I did 4 times the amount that I did the first night. Because I'm like, I just told myself, I'm like, whatever they're going to offer me is what I need.
Yeah.
So I just did as much as I could. And bro, I went to fucking Jupiter. Like, I went so deep beyond the stratosphere that it was fucking incredible. Like, I was...
Did you find the happy stuff?
Bro, I found the most beautiful happy stuff. Like, so when it first started coming on, I remember laying there to paint the picture, you're in like this hut in the middle of Costa Rica in the middle of the jungle. And it's like open. You can hear the jungle and everything. There's 50 people in like a circle. There's your 3 shamans playing beautiful music.
That's
like,
kind of a lot of people, no?
Yeah. Well, it's a big retreat, right? Yeah. But all these people.
I feel like if I did it, I'd want to do like 5 people.
Well, it's kind of special because this company that you do it with is... Everyone is vetted. So it's not like, hey, this guy who just like wants to just
get high.
It's
like a curated
high.
Group.
Yeah, it's curated. Yeah. Like, so there was one guy that was worth $3 billion. Another guy owns an airport. Another guy can figure out the math on when people are going to die for like insurance companies. Like, it's fucking nuts. And there's one lady, this most beautiful person I've ever met. She beat cancer twice. Like, it was fucking insane. The people that you're connected with. So it sounds like a lot, but everyone is so special.
Everyone's there up for a reason. Yeah.
Yeah. So the second night we did it, dude, I was sitting there and I like had my eyes closed and I just felt this golden aura come over me. And I'm like, wow, I'm fucking vibrating. I'm fucking electric. And I hear someone cry over here and I just went, pew. And then I was like, I'm sending them a good vibe. And I would just point my finger at them and they'll stop crying. I'm like, wow. I'm powerful. I got this. Who needs a fucking good vibe? So I'm sitting there like literally like this, just shooting my fingers to all my friends.
Good vibes, Superman.
Yeah, all my friends. I was like, oh, it's New Year's. Like, Christian needs it. Zach needs it. And I felt myself like connecting with every single person. Even my dog. I was like, I felt my fucking finger.
Yeah.
Fingered my friends with good energy. And then so that was the start of it. And then it just slowly like ramped up. And that was when I dove in and I saw Tevita. I was standing in front of him. We weren't even talking. We were just staring at each other, hugging each other and laughing. And then me and him were up here watching a memory of us in a kitchen just drinking and just fucking dancing. I was filming him and Christian and we're like laughing and having a good time. And then we walk in the hallway and we're just hugging each other like, fuck, I love you, man. And I remember turning to him. I was like, is everything all good? Like, are you happy? He's like, yeah, it's all good over here. Like, I want you to be happy. And then I saw, you know, Meredith and she just said, like, look after my boys. Everything's okay. And I'm proud of you. I'm like, fuck yes. Like, this is... And then the same thing happened with Hamish. And it was just like, oh, this is what I needed.
That's special, man.
Yeah. And it came out of it just like complete. Like, it's not complete, but in a sense that like, okay, I'm not holding on to those feelings anymore. And I'm going to use exactly what they would want to do something good and make people laugh and make my friends happy and be more of a present friend yeah. for not only my community, but for the man I want to become. And then, so yeah, the end of that trip as well, I was, I just got an overwhelming love and appreciation for feminine energy, which is kind of crazy because I've never acknowledged it in my life, but it made me look at my mom and everything that she's gone through, to have two boys, to be in a very abusive, alcoholic relationship, to hold on to a man, to be able to release and be her own woman, and then to put up with all of that, and then also all the other shit that happens in between, running a company, blah blah blah, all this stuff. And then it made me like snap and go, fuck, look at all the incredible women that are in my life that made me the man I am. I would not be the human I am without these beautiful, this beautiful feminine energy around me. And it made me just so in love with just women and just feminine energy. And I was like, this is what's so special about the planet. Like we have these beautiful, elegant creatures that are here that are just, their duty is just to love and like give this soft, beautiful energy out. I'm like, this is so special. I never had acknowledged that before that moment. And then once I come out of that thing, I looked to the lady beside me. I was like, can I kiss your feet? And she's like, what? And I'm like, I just want to say thank you. Like, I want to kiss your feet. Like, I just want to like hold your feet and just say like, thank you for being here and walking and existing. She's like, you still high? I'm like, yeah, but I want to kiss your feet. Can I suck your toes? No, I didn't do that, but
slow down. Yeah.
But then, and then the third time we did it, it was daytime, but we had a break in between and we went and did like other like exercises and stuff. Yeah. But the third time was like daytime, and that was like, that was a different experience in itself. But the biggest eye opening stuff was from day two.
What was the reintegration like? I feel like that's one of the things that like I'm most interested in, is like the experiences that you have, like bringing them back to reality and your normal life. Do they sort of like guide you through like reintegrating, or you just like sort of get back and have to like adjust? Or
yeah, so this company, they have like a whole process. Like they've done it a bunch of times. They have like homework that you do. Oh, you want to know the fucking craziest thing? Mm. The craziest thing about this whole experience was there was a guy there from New Zealand, who I've ran into five times in my life, but I've never officially said hi to him. We've never officially shaken hands. And he got in on the trip last minute because someone pulled out. Me and him started talking. He filmed The Bachelorette with my best friend Tavita, who passed. And he's like, there's no coincidence. I'm here with you. We're both here for the same thing.
Wow.
And his experience was, we were brothers in a past life, and he's here to look after me and make sure I'm okay and just check in. He randomly texts me. He's like, brother, I'm just checking in, like sending you love. And I was like, how weird. The universe is so crazy.
That's a higher power right there.
Bizarre. But so the reintegration was, they have the homework and stuff, but the weirdest fucking stuff that happened to me was, so in Costa Rica, everything wrapped up. For more detail on one of the nights that I did it, I had like a crazy vision that I was in the movie Troy, and I was like fucking slight. Me and Brad Pitt just fucking.
Were you Brad Pitt or were you Orlando Bloom?
I wasn't that. I was just like some random big like Cyclops. That was just running around, just like slashing people up and having like a crazy time. And we're in the film, and it was like sick. Like me and Brad, just best friends.
Yeah.
You know how it is. And bro, so I was like, I'm like, damn, I haven't watched this movie in fucking years. Like, why did that come to me in this experience? Like, this is so weird. I don't know what's going on. Maybe I'm gonna be in the new Troy if it comes out. Whatever else. Like, what is going on, bro? I get to the hotel in Costa Rica.
And Troy's on the TV.
Bro, I turn on Netflix. First thing. Troy, I'm like, what the fuck? Why is this here? Who's doing this? I was like, I text my manager. I was like, have you been in my room? Like, what the fuck
That's
is going
so
on?
So crazy,
bro.
Dude.
So I sat on the edge of the bed watching this movie like a hawk.
It's glued.
Watching everything. I was like taking photos of like fucking crazy lines that he said. And I'm like, this is sick. So then the next day, I was on a run. And there's this band called Gang of Youths, which is this big Australian band. And they have this really cool song called Magnolia. And they were in my Spotify release, like they had a new song come out, but it was fucking whack. It was dog shit. But I was like, oh, I want to listen to Magnolia. So I click it on their name, and their top song is called Achilles Come Down, which is who Troy was who Brad Pitt was in the film. I'm like, this is so weird. This is
fucking. It was just all like aligning.
Dude, and then the next fucking day, I'm on TikTok live, like telling people about like, yeah, this is kind of crazy. Like I wasn't telling about Troy stuff, but I was I'm in Costa Rica. I was adding people in on the live, like to just show me like
say what up,
crazy trick and like do a backflip. I swear to God, this is no lie. Everyone says add Troy in. Because there's one guy that was like, I'm gonna do a backflip. Like, I don't know, his name was Troy. But everyone kept saying Troy, and I was like, I was like, hey, like, you guys don't know what's going on in my head, but this is fucked up. And everyone's like, why are you freaking out? I was like, you're saying Troy. You don't know what that means to me. Like, that's fucking crazy.
Whoa, dude.
Yeah. And then I used to have him as my background.
The kid Troy?
I had it as my background. And then too many people were asking me, like, hey, why have you got Brad Pitt?
What the fuck is wrong with you?
As your background. So I just changed it to something else. But yeah, it's kind of crazy, huh?
Wow.
Weird. It's like, I kind of sound like a hippie, but it's kind of fucking crazy.
No, I mean, I think everyone has some sort of like experience that like connects them deeper, and like the universe presents us with those signs that like tells us that it's where we're supposed to be. You know, I don't think that that's like uncommon to everyone. You know, even as simple as like people having like angel numbers, or we all have those experiences where we're talking about someone and then they call us or text us. You know,
it's crazy.
I think there's like
it's connected.
To me, I've always felt very spiritual, and I think there's definitely like something out there that really sort of connects us and like looks out for us, and there's energy. I mean,
everything's connected.
You can't deny that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd love to get into a little bit of like mental health in the reality space specifically. You know, I think just from being a consumer, you know, I think it seems very like these people are put on pedestals. There's some like the lines are very blurred of like what's real, what's produced, sort of like how you have to act, how you think you have to act. Like, you know, to me, it seems like it could be very hard to like maintain identity or integrity of really like, who am I internally? How am I supposed to be outwardly? I'm just like curious what your experience was like as you sort of like rose to the levels that you've risen to, of like how to, you know, keep what seems like at least like some sort of like a stable head on, and like what you've seen from other peers. Obviously, like you've experienced the lowest of lows. Like what sort of like happens in all of that?
Yeah, I think I want to start this conversation off with, reality TV, as privileged as we are to be on it, it is one of the most mentally challenging things that a human can do. Like, and I know that's a bold statement, but you have to imagine. So a lot of these people don't have crazy careers, because if we did, we wouldn't be on a fucking reality show. A lot of them live with their parents. A lot of them don't have anything going for them apart from just, which isn't a bad thing to say, but it's just like, a lot of them in their 20s, they're just like fucking around, going out and getting drunk and having a good time. And they just got lucky to be on the show. So we go, you get scouted, you get told you're hot, you get told, okay, you're coming to Mexico, you're being on the show. You have the craziest month of your life where you don't have your friends, you don't have your phone, you don't have your family, you don't have any
like a new family of strangers, basically.
And and you don't have any contact with the outside world, and you're in a competition against people that actively are genuinely trying to ruin your time and hate you and want to fuck with you. So you're in this environment and it's like peak. Everything, all the alarm bells are going off for a month straight. Like, everything's going crazy. Like
the most stimulation, hyper.
Everything. Like everything. You're in a fucking place that's like $30,000 a night. Like, you're getting, everything's taken care of. You have a chef, everything, amazing experiences. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. There's no schedule. There's no regime. And then that's done. Like, you leave and then you have to like forget about it. So you fucking dive down.
It's a hole. Yeah.
You're back to like normal life, living.
It's like withdrawal.
Yeah. With your parents, and like nothing's like the same, and you wait a year, maybe a year and a half, sometimes 2 years, and you're telling these people, oh yeah, I got this show coming out, I got this thing coming, like, look forward for it. And then the show comes out, bang, you're the coolest guy in town for a month. Everyone wants to get dinner, everyone's blowing up your phone, old friends, like, oh my God, you're fucking this, you're that, blah, blah, blah. And then a month after that, a new show's out. Now you're not cool anymore. No one cares. So it's a crazy, like, it's a crazy roller coaster, and it's very taxing. And there is such a crazy suicide rate within the reality TV space, which is so sad and so scary.
So sad.
But the biggest blessing is being with a company like Netflix. They care. Like, we have therapists, we have people that we can call.
Like, they provide like mental health care
from start to finish.
Yeah.
You do a full like psych evaluation, make sure you're actually okay. Like, you will, like, is everything beautiful for this whole experience? And then you have a therapist from start to finish. But so that's the first level of it. And then the next level of it is for financial stuff. Like, you get crazy money, everything's like coming in like really hot and heavy. And then if you do, like, you, I'm not a, like, I wasn't a social media influencer. I didn't know how to do Instagram. I didn't know how to do
it's
TikTok.
Like, what are you going to do with the opportunity now?
You don't know. You don't know how to like monetize and maximize.
It's all so new also, I feel like. There's no blueprint. There's no like, I want to follow the steps of this person. It's like, I don't know.
You don't know. Like, you're like, okay, like, how do I make TikToks? Like, how do I do this stuff? Like, I was very lucky that I didn't say no to any opportunity. I just was like, whoever it is, I want to collab with them.
Mm-hmm.
And that was how I got skilled up to figure out how to do social media. But yeah. So there's the financials. You're making a lot of money and then you suddenly like it dies off. People don't care. People don't want to post that, those rates anymore. So the ego starts to get a little bit crushed as well. And then there's the public opinion, which is the craziest thing, because with a lot of like YouTubers and a lot of like celebrities and stuff like that, their audience, their community has been there from start to finish. They mm-hmm. know them. They're your best friend.
Right. Like they've watched you every day they for get 5 years. Yeah. Yeah.
Like they know your ins and outs. Reality TV stuff, they see 10% of your personality, and it's so insane how quick they can turn on you. They'll see one comment, there'll be one headline, oh, this person did this, bang, that whole audience that fucking loved you last week, every comment is, you're this, you're that, you're that, and it puts you in like a crazy headspace. It's what happened to me. Like when our show came out, when the first one came out, it was so much love of like, wow, I'm cool. Like people care about me. Like, damn, this is sick. Then it takes one false claim from an ex for them to be like, you're this, you're that, you're a horrible person, you're such a terrible person to people, blah, 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 all this stuff. And then every comment, people unfollow, whatever else. And I'm like, whoa, holy shit. Like, this is...
Like, it can go like that.
Yeah, but yeah. It also... That was the best thing for me because it made me look within. I'm like, okay, this isn't real. I'll just turn my phone off and, like, yeah. Whatever else. Like, anyone who comes up to me is lovely. No one's trying to fight me.
Yeah.
No one's bad.
Yeah.
And it made me understand myself a lot better, but it's scary because there's a lot of people that don't understand, like can't wrap their head around it when they get into reality TV.
Yeah, I think it's very confusing, like the point that you just made of like it's real and it's fake at the same time.
Yeah.
Like these are obviously real people saying these hurtful things, but at the same time, it's like, I don't know them. I'll probably never see them like in my own everyday life. It's obviously not real. So like, why am I giving it so much power to like sway me in these big like... ups and downs and all these things? And I mean, I think it goes back to like what we were saying earlier about like something that's completely out of your control is like being in the position that you're in. Like you sign yourself up for this like platform to just like stand up there and take whether they're arrows or flowers from like the whole world like nonstop, which is largely like completely out of your control, what they're gonna throw, how many times they're gonna throw it, and like how hard they're gonna throw it. There's like nothing you can do about it, right? And I feel like it's awesome to see the work that you've done of like, let me learn how to fill my own cup and how to feel my own inherent value with who I am no matter what, so that whatever happens to me, like when I'm up there, it's like I'm solid still. I have like my people, I have my real life, I have my reality. And I think it's like something else I was thinking about is like especially hard on like the shows that you've been on, where like people are selected a lot initially for like how they physically look. And it's like, you know, they're instilling the belief in someone that like you are valuable because you are, your body looks like this, or because you have boobs that are this size, or because of X, Y, and Z. And it's like, you know, that can also be very toxic of like, well, my worth is in my appearance and not my like my heart.
If you see me on Twitter the handle, I look back, I'm like, how did I get on this shit? I was not hot.
Weren't this guy?
No, bro. My nipples were bigger than my chest. I was like skinny fat and I had like asparagus legs.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I must have been funny, but like, how did they get me through? Like, I don't know what the fuck. But it sucks because it sets up that foundation to be like, I'm hotter than everyone.
Yeah. And like, that's why I matter.
Yeah. I matter because I have big fake titties.
Yeah.
Like, and it's like fucked up. Like it's.
That's really toxic.
Because then also now your whole perception on yourself is I'm sexualized. Like I'm a sex robot. Like how am I going to sell my body?
That's my content. That's my brand. That's my like.
Yeah. And I think that's also why it's like very hard to be a reality TV star and then expand from that, because you're kind of, that's all you're stuck as. I think we're very blessed because we're Netflix reality stars instead of like, you know, MTV stars, which just is like
other networks. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think we're very like lucky in that sense, but it's fucking crazy. Like it's bizarre. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Obviously you've been in the space for like a few years now. Like, have you seen sort of mental health enter the conversation more? I know you said like Netflix is very supportive. Like, have you seen things change or get better yet in any way, or is it still sort of like a real issue that's like not being addressed? Because I feel like I'm not that tapped into the space, but I never thought of like suicide as such an issue in the reality space, but hearing you say it, I think makes a lot of sense when you break down the experience.
It's person to person, right?
Yeah.
So like I know how I was, and I was the last person to ask for help. I'm like, oh yeah, on my psych evaluation. He's like, hey, no one's ever had perfect answers before. I'm like,
you're like,
I'm the perfect guy.
I'm like, happy all the time.
Yeah, I was like, you wouldn't believe it. He's like, okay, well, are you a psycho? Like, have you got something wrong?
Like, that's actually more concerning.
Yeah. He's like, there's something going on. Like, you're a sociopath. I'm like, I could be. No. I think it's something that, you know, these networks and these companies are very attentive to. Like, they're, because it's something that you have to tread so carefully with, and you have to make sure there's so much support, because there's also a lot of entitlement which mm-hmm. comes with the space as well. Like, you have a lot of people that have been living this way for a month and living like they're fucking kings and queens.
And I think that's like now like the standard of my life.
Yeah. So they have this crazy entitlement. So I, to be honest, I think these networks and stuff, especially Netflix, go above and beyond to make sure that they're just one text away. If I text someone right now from Netflix, hey, I'm not doing too well, I'll have a whole swarm of people there to serve and make sure I'm going to get through whatever's going on. Like, they're so attentive.
Support is amazing.
But it's one of those things that unless you ask for it, you're not going to get it.
Yeah.
You know?
Because people can't read our minds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And I think that's like the first step.
Of, and
like,
I wish people could read mine. Yeah. They'll see some crazy shit.
Maybe on ayahuasca. Yeah. You could read mine. Yeah. Yeah. I guess, like, sort of looking forward for you, like, how have you thought about building your own sort of like career and brand, like, post like these shows? I guess, are you like, do you want to move on from the reality space and be more of like an entrepreneur, like I know you're doing, or like, how have you thought about now, like, the evolution of it? Because I feel like for a lot of people in the space also, it's like, you obviously don't want to stay in it forever. It's like, how can I use this to leverage myself into like a more longevity and career? How's that process been?
I think I'm very blessed because I have a team that runs me like a business, mm-hmm. and I wouldn't have it any other way. Like, they're not in the talent space. Well, they weren't when we met, and they essentially just like, okay, cool, you're a fucking entity. This is your schedule, and this is how we're gonna operate. And I love it. There's so much structure. Everything's beautiful. So we have an investment fund where we companies that are up and coming, they need help. We figure it out. We figure out how to help them. There's, you know, a handful of companies that we have either started or we have our fingers in mm-hmm. that we're running. There's so many different pillars that I've been able to utilize from this space. But for me, reality TV is always going to be the bread and butter. It's something mm-hmm. where I thrive. It's something where I'm like, okay, I know that for a month I can just fuck around and take the piss and have a good time.
Yeah.
I don't think dating shows are where I'm going to go anymore. It's just not fun. Like, I think I've done like 3 or 4 of them, and it's at a point where people are like,
that sounds like a lot.
Yeah.
It's like, this fucking guy, can you just figure it out, man?
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's at a point where people are like, Christ, he needs a new therapist because like, he's got problems. Like, get the fuck up. But there's, you know, other shows, like I think Dancing with the Stars, stuff like that would be fun for me. But my goal right now is acting. I love it. I filmed, I had a few scenes in a film, an independent film that isn't out yet. But after that 14-hour day, mm-hmm. on the way home, I was smiling from ear to ear. I was like, damn, I have not worked like that in a long time. And I have not been a part of a family like that. Like,
yeah.
With reality TV stuff, you kind of just, the camera guys are just pointing cameras at you. Like, you don't really talk to anyone.
Yeah.
But like with a movie set, everyone's friends. Right. Everyone wants to work together.
Yeah.
It's like you're all a part of this person's vision. Yeah. And how are we serving you? How are we going to bring this to life so that it looks beautiful for you?
In a very weird way, I feel like acting is almost more real than reality.
So yeah, exactly. Way more real. Yeah. Way more real. So that's the goal, was to, hey, how do I lean into the acting stuff? How do I make more people laugh? Like, my legacy goal is to be like Kevin Hart. Not in the sense of like stand up or whatever else, but in the sense of, you see his face, you're going to watch that because it's going to make you laugh.
Yeah.
I need to see this dude because he's going to make me giggle. He's going to make me happy.
Yeah. Like, bring me just a little sliver of joy.
Yeah. That's exactly, that's me. Like, that's, if I die, I want that to be my legacy.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, yeah, man. I feel like it's so amazing. Like, your perspective, I feel like you are, and like, you can continue to be obviously such an advocate for mental health and for sort of sharing our feelings in this space. You know, I don't anticipate the reality space slowing down anytime soon. No. Right. I think it's like as hot as lava and like only getting bigger and better. And like, I think it's really like, for you to bring that perspective to it, I think is like really beautiful and unique. And, you know, I haven't spoken to that many other reality stars, but I bet it's pretty like fresh. And I think, you know, the more work that you can continue to do there, it's like, that's its own sort of like stigma and like conversation that absolutely needs to be had.
Yeah. Yeah. Damn, bro.
Yeah, man.
This has been sick.
No, of course, dude. I mean, it's been great to meet, you know. I think actually like to become friends outside of all this has been like amazing. And I love being just like so pleasantly surprised by like, you know, like someone who you would think, oh, like this fucking guy or whatever, like that guy that came up to you on the beach the first day. Right. And I think it's like, guy. we all have our stories and our experiences. And I think that's part of the beauty of wherever you are, whoever you are, like we are all connected in some way, shape or form. And like, there are these human experiences and moments that we can really relate on, that we can connect to, that like, you know, 50 strangers on the beach, it's like there's something that you can talk about with every single person. I feel like that's what we want to do with this show. That's what we want to do like with this brand. And I definitely think we have a lot of like shared values. And I know we've talked about like some ideas before. So I mean, excited to continue to watch you. And hopefully we can do more stuff in the future, brother.
Legend. You're the best, bro. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Harry. Peace.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode between Mason and Harry. Want to reiterate, as always, we appreciate you tuning in and taking time out of your day to participate in the mental health conversation. Have a fantastic weekend, and we will see you next week.
The Mad Happy Podcast is brought to you by Optimism.